Email todaysor at rte.ie.
Now, I just have to apologise to Professor Donal O'Shea for not giving him a chance to respond to the suggestion or at least criticism of Operation Transformation, insisting that the participants wear lycra. And he says that's not how he would dress them. That was his word on that as he left the studio. Our thanks to him and to Jackie Jones. Now, to something else entirely. It was perhaps to be expected that once the Troika left town and talk of recovery began, that public sector unions would raise their heads to perhaps mention the possibility of pay restoration for public servants. Now, it was in 1987, as the country emerged from the economic doldrums, that social partnership was born. And as we are emerging from another recession right now, the question arises, should a new version of Charles Haughey's industrial relations template be revived? To discuss the merits of such a proposal, I'm joined in studio now by Sheila Noonan. She's General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation. Also here, Martin Wall, industry correspondent of the Irish Times, and also Professor Michael Doherty, who specialises in employment and industry law at the Department of Law in Maynooth University. Good morning to you all. Thank you for coming in. First of all, perhaps, Michael, you might remind us about the origins of social partnership. What did it bring us?
Yeah, well, I suppose the first thing is we're in a lycra-free zone, or let's hope so. I think that's the first thing we can agree on. Basically, social partnership in the late 80s, we were in a, as an economy and society, in a not dissimilar place, a very high unemployment, very high emigration, very low growth, all problems that unfortunately have become familiar again in recent years. And the idea behind social partnership, as you said, kind of pushed by, in particular by Charles Haughey, was to get the key actors in the economy, the unions, the employers and the state together to try and agree a managed way of looking at pay increases, to try and cut down on industrial unrest, on strikes and so on. And basically it was get the key players in a room, come up with some template agreements every, as it happened, these came out every 2 to 3 years, and try and manage a recovery. And that's essentially the process.
And Martin, in fact, I remember one phrase from the then Taoiseach Charles Haughey at the launch of that. It would bring, he predicted, a prolonged period of industrial peace. And it seemed to do that, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right, Sean. If you look back in the late 70s, the early 80s, where eras of a million strike days in a year being lost was not unknown. We got to a stage a number of years ago where there was no strike day. No day at all was lost in the economy in particular quarters of the year from strikes. So social partnership, what it did was it certainly created industrial relations stability. That's one thing that it can certainly did. It did create. It created, you know, the structures that allowed that to actually happen. It did have its critics. It started off the basic principle was that there was pay moderation on the part of the unions. The government came upon, and its side, it introduced changes to taxation policy, which basically meant that workers had greater earnings at the end of the week. How that came from, I suppose many workers don't really worry about what the components of their pay, what they worry about is what is at the bottom line. However, as time went on, as we moved into the, it moved beyond just the government, the employers, and
yes, it embraced the private and the public sector.
Absolutely, and then beyond that, in the early 90s, obviously the agricultural sector, the farmers were always there. In the early 90s, during John Bruton's time as Taoiseach, during the Rainbow government, the social pillar, the social and voluntary pillar, became involved, and then ultimately, when the Greens were in government with Fianna Fáil, the environmental activists became involved, and the issues that were determined as part of this became larger. And there's one quote that maybe, which I think will be thrown back in the event of this materialising again. Enda Kenny, in opposition, in a speech in November 2007, spoke that the Fianna Fáil-led governments, he said, had bypassed elected representatives of the Dáil and, in social partnership, had created entirely new parallel system of policy formation for government. And I think that is one of where that it became so broad, it became beyond pay, it became virtually all elements of economic and social policy became part of these agreements.
Right, and Sheila Noonan, you were part of, I think, that negotiating team on the part of Congress and representing the INTO, and there was not just the PNR, there was the famous PESP, the PCW Partnership 2000, and a whole string of them. So where are we now? I mean, Haddington Road was about agreeing pay cuts and that it would go until 2016. So is social partnership dead?
Well, where we are now, first of all, in relation to public service unions, is the public service unions will be asserting their right to seek the restoration under the Haddington Road Agreement. And we've made that fairly clear to government. And we're noting very clearly Minister Howland's comments that he anticipates being in talks with public sector unions in late spring after the in the second part of the year. So we're very much chasing that restoration of income under that, but equally looking at the unwinding of the FEMPI legislation. I mean,
the emergency legislation
that brought in the pay cuts. I mean, it is fair to say that, you know, the economy is out of A&E, you might say. Now, whether they were sitting up in the bed or walking yet, we're a long way to go. But I think the central point here is there has been no discussion with the trade union movement generally about this. This is a piece of commentary, if you like, as a conversation in public taking place, but the players in respect of employers and unions haven't had it. But I will make just one point about that. The trade union movement have no difficulty trying to get into a forum to influence pay. That is the bread and butter of what they do. So any mechanism that will allow unions to determine pay mechanisms for their members has to be welcomed.
And Michael Doherty, the phrase social dialogue has been mentioned. I think some union people are saying they don't really know what it means, but could social dialogue be to social partnership what talks about talks are to talks?
I think the whole social dialogue thing is really, I mean, social partnership, when you put those two words together, have quite a toxic connotation now. They remind people of, you know, the two key players were Charles Haughey and Bertie Ahern, essentially over a long period of time. So they remind people of a different time, of a different era, and of some things that didn't frankly end so well. And I think from the government's point of view, they're anxious to distance themselves just from the terminology. What they mean by social dialogue, and as Sheila rightly says, you know, this is all a bit of kind of kite flying and discussion. We've no idea what the government actually means. All they seem to be saying is, and indeed IBEC have the employers have said this as well, is that, you know, maybe we should get into some kind of managed process as we come out of the worst of the crisis, hopefully.
Sheila Noonan, remind us about the impositions on workers. There was a pension levy, there were pay cuts.
There's a considerable litany of misery, I think, that was, as our members quite rightly like to call it. It began in 2009 with a 6-7% imposition of a pension levy. It was then followed in 2011 by, again, averaging 6-7% pay cut. And then under Haddington Road, there were other measures targeted mainly at people earning over 65,000, with another 5% plus pay cut on that category, and the abolition of a certain number of allowances. So it was a fairly substantial amount of reduction of the public sector pay bill in that period of time.
Now, Martin Wall, you're an industry correspondent, but you also follow these things closely. Brendan Howland, on the one hand, says the legislation only runs till 2016. He wants to get into discussions. At the same time, he says there's going to be no bonanza.
Well,
so that's explain all that.
Okay. Well, I think the fear that the government had was that the pay cuts that Sheila spoke about, the pension levy and the various pay cuts, were put in place under financial emergency legislation. The fear that government had was with ministers speaking up the economy, talking about coming out of recession, somebody was going to walk into the High Court one day and lodge a challenge and say, where's the emergency? These pay cuts were predicated on a financial emergency that the government itself is saying is no longer there. And the fear was that a judge at some stage could basically shoot down in one fell swoop all the financial emergency legislation. So what the talks are about, I think, is about unwinding these various measures that were put in place in an orderly manner. So I think we're not going to see a start of, if you add up the savings that were generated on the pay bill, probably close to 2 billion. Mm-hmm. There is no way, I think, in reality, that the government is going to row back on everything at the same time and leave a potential 2 billion euro hole in its public service pay bill. So therefore, it's how we deal with it. What are the measures that we put in place? And I think what is likely to imagine to happen is the government, and one of the issues where the minister is saying we'll have to wait for, it's the second quarter, so they'll see the first quarter financial figures at the end of March. The government will then have to make an estimate in its budget for next year. How much does it have to give away? And public service pay is only going to be one element of it. There'll also be issues in terms of tax cuts. There will be issues in terms of health expenditure, social housing. How much
USC
is it going to give? Exactly. All
of
these various
thing,
issues. Yeah. And how are we going to dice and slice that? So if the government decided among itself and said, we want to allocate a certain amount for public service pay, how is that going to be divided? How is that cake going to be divided? And we have to bear in mind, even in the public service, there are different constituencies. There will be the argument from the low paid that under the original Croke Park agreement, that they will argue that people who earned less than 35,000 were supposed to get the first, if there was going to be any money coming back, they would be first. There'll be other people will point to the deal the government did the other day in relation to hospital consultants who are obviously on the higher end. Are they getting the? Are they the first people to get money back? It depends how you look at the situation. So, and then Sheila mentioned the issue about pay. Some of the other unions, one of the other issues, the big issue that came out of Haddington Road was hours, extra hours, two extra hours a week. Big issue, 40,000 nurses.
Yeah, is the government in danger of overly raising expectations, Michael Doherty, particularly with an eye to the election?
Yeah, you see, it's a very difficult position because obviously what the government have to do is talk things up. You know, things are getting better, the economy's improving, everything's great. But at the same time, of course, the more you say that, the more people will say, well, OK, you know, we've had 7 years of pain and misery and cuts and increased charges. So where's the give? So it is a very difficult balance. But I think there's another element as well, which is, I mean, the idea of social partnership was that it wasn't just about the public sector. It was public sector and private sector. So there's two elements to that. One, it was an attempt to get around the old public sector thing of, you know, the guards get 5%, so the teachers look for 5% and so on, and all this leapfrogging. But similarly, if you set a benchmark for both private and public sectors, you try and, you know, bring the entire economy around that. And we have seen some pay pressure in the private sector. So we know there have been pay increases in sectors quite diverse, pharmaceuticals on one hand, if you like, and retail on another. So there is pressure building throughout the economy. And that might be the attraction of this idea of trying to manage an integrated
Sheila
solution.
Sheila Noonan, where would your priorities lie in regard to your own members? For instance, would it be in restoring or at least giving for the first time to new teachers that 10% that they lost?
Well, our first priority obviously is to secure the commitments that were given under the Haddington Road Agreement, and they're fairly much set out in that agreement and they're timelined and time bound, and that brings us to post Haddington Road right up into 2018. So I think the public service unions want to see those commitments honoured in full. You're absolutely right about equalisation. We made two further steps, if you like, towards equalisation under under Haddington Road and subsequently in relation to equalising at the top end of the scale, but the abolition of allowances is a danger there. But I would say on the wider point that Martin is raising about the unwinding, I think every worker in Ireland, those who are still in work or even those who are hoping for work, do, you know, want to see a sustainable economy. They do not want, having gone through the worst time for themselves or their children, to get back into a situation, but nor do they want to be left behind on pay. And I think some kind of mechanism for having that broader discussion is to be welcome, because we will get into employer by employer and competitive kind of wage bargaining going on. And there's the wider issue of pay versus taxation, which, you know, certain of the employer groups would like to see it delivered by way of lower taxes. Martin mentioned people don't care at the end of their paycheck, but we do have to have in mind that the collapse was caused by the abolition of a tax base in the country. So there's a wider discussion. There's a discussion about pensions, where compulsory private sector workers have to retire at 65, can't draw down their state pension. There's a gap there. There are a number of issues, affordable childcare for women at work. I think there's an opportunity here in the spirit of trying to, as I say, we've come out of the A&E and move forward. There's a lot of things if we want to have decent, well-paid work and certainty back in the economy and low industrial relations strife out there. I would like to see these things coming out of the speculation of discussion and talks about talks commence.
Martin, I might get a chance to ask Richard Bruton about this after 11, but do you get a sense that, and I think you're one of your colleagues, Fia Kelly, reported a couple of days ago, that maybe there's less enthusiasm, and even in Mr. Bruton's own department, for this kind of dialogue than there may be on the Labour side of the government?
Yes, certainly there seems to be. What we seem to be having at the moment is an internal conversation within government. And it certainly has been reported that there is more enthusiasm on certain parts of government than there is in others. Richard Bruton was a critic of some of the social partnership elements of the past. He was certainly a critic of the benchmarking process. As I mentioned earlier, the Taoiseach had made criticism. There seems to be certainly reported that there are people close to the Taoiseach are not altogether enthusiastic about this process. But I think until the government decides itself, and presumably we may not know that until this spring statement in a few weeks' time, what exactly it's talking about. Because it is definitely going to have talks with the public service unions, but in reality, that is only an employer speaking with its employees. Is it going to be broader? We don't know what the government has in mind as of yet.
We await developments. Last word, Sheila,
Everybody needs a pay rise. The country needs everybody to have a pay rise, and it cannot just be delivered by tax. And I think that's a very clear message from all workers in the country.
Sheila Noonan, General Secretary of the INTO, Michael Doherty, Professor with the Department of Law at Maynooth, and also Martin Wall, industry correspondent with the Irish Times. Thank you all for being with us. We'll be talking about the weather with Gerald Fleming after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.